The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Kisovei. In Parsha's Kisovei, in Perikov Ches Pasuk Mem Zayin, the Torah tells us, now this is in the middle of the Teichachos, where the Torah is rebuking Klal Yisrael and prophesying what will take place when they do not listen to the word of Hashem. It goes through all of the rebukes and the curses and so forth. So it states in Pasuk Mem Zayin, Tachas Hashem Le'avaritos Hashem Elakecho, Simcha, Vavetuv Levov, Meirev Kol. Because you have not served the Lord your God with Simcha, with joy, and with goodness of heart, Meirev Kol, when you had so much. Rashi brings, Meirev Kol, Be'etzo Hoyelachok, while you still had such plenty. We find that during the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that there was great wealth in Eretz Yisrael and great wealth in Yerushalayim at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the destruction and the siege and so forth. So the complaint that we find here against Klal Yisrael, Tachas Hashem Le'avaretu As Hashem Alekecho, because you have not served Hashem, your Lord, your God, B'simcha, with rejoicing, uvetuv levov, and with goodness of heart, Meirev Kol, when you had so much. From here we hear two things. Firstly, that avoda, to serve Hashem, that has to be with simcha, that has to be with rejoicing and goodness of heart. Because we see that they were punished because they lacked this. It didn't say that because you didn't serve Hashem. The implication here is they did serve Hashem, but they did not serve with simcha uvetuv levov. And the Rambam in Perek Vov, Halacha Chof, of Hilchos Yantif, brings from this posuk, Harei Shehaveda B'Simcha, that we see that when you serve Hashem, it's not enough to serve Him. It's not enough merely to study Torah and fulfill mitzvahs. But you must study Torah and fulfill mitzvahs with the greatest of rejoicing and goodness of heart. Because here it implies that they did study Torah and fulfill mitzvahs. And still they were punished because it was not with simcha and tuv levov. That's one halacha, one law that we learn from here. A second halacha that we learn from here is that when a man has plenty, in times of goodness, when we have all that we need, we have so much, we're obligated to use it to serve Hashem with. Meirev Kol, while you had so much. And if not, then it's a criticism, a very severe criticism. Now, it's known to everyone the importance of happiness and rejoicing in a person's life. And this is known to people, and doctors and psychologists are becoming more and more aware of this all of the time, that if a person wants to be healthy, physically and emotionally and mentally, he has to have happiness and joy in his life. And this is something that was always known to people. You cannot live a healthy life without simcha and joy. But what most people are not aware of, that this is a condition also in Avedas Hashem. This is a condition in serving in Hashem. And to serve Hashem, and to do all of the mitzvahs, and to study Torah. But it's not with simcha. This doesn't mean lacks a hidur. It's better to do it with simcha, but you can do it also without simcha. It's not true. As we see here, what was the criticism? The criticism was that they didn't serve with simcha.
We see from here that Avedis Hashem has to be Datke with Simcha. When you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be only with Simcha. And if it's not, it lacks in the essence of the serving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It lacks in the mitzvah. It lacks in the Torah. I remember once, many, many years ago, I was sitting in the sukkah with a group of Talmidim by the late Chaim Berliner Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yitzchok Hutner, Zichreinu Livracha. And he was talking, speaking of Aveda B'Simcha. And he said this, that people think that you can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with sadness, with being melancholy, with indifference. And it's just about the same as serving with Simcha. This is a Hidur. And the example he gave, he said the difference is between the basement of the Empire State Building and the top floor of the Empire State Building. Empire State Building at that time was the tallest building in the world. I think it was 104 stories. He says that's the difference. The difference between serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu without Simcha and with Simcha is the same comparison as the basement to the top floor of the Empire State Building. We find many, many times, here the Torah is speaking in general, all Aveda, all serving of Him. But we find many, many times, in many individual mitzvahs, where the Torah emphasizes this point. In our parsha alone, we find it in a few places. In the beginning of our parsha, we have the mitzvah of Bikurim, bringing the first fruits in Eretz Yisrael. And there in Posuk, Yud Aleph, right at the beginning, Chof Vov Yud Aleph, it states, V'somachtu b'chol ha-teva she'nosan l'cho ha-shem elakech le'vei'secho. When you bring the fruits, you bring it to the Kohen, and you eat the parasha, what you're supposed to bring, there's a mitzvah, V'somachtu b'chol ha-teva. You must rejoice in all of the good which Hashem has given to you and your household. A second place in our parasha is in the next perech of Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph. One minute. Pasuk Chof Zayin Zayin. There it states about the bringing of the Korban Shlomim, that you should build a mizbeach, an altar, and bring the sacrifice, which was called shlomim, v'zovachto shlomim v'yochalto shom, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, and you should eat there, v'samachta lifnei Hashem alekecho, and you should rejoice before Hashem alekecho. We have it in regards to the mayadim, which are coming soon, very soon, v'samachta b'chagecho, mitzvah asei, positive commandment to rejoice on the chag. We have it also, which is coming soon, by the mitzvah of lulav. Lulav and esrog, Torah states, v'somachtem lifnei Hashem elakecho shiva shomim. You shall take the lulav and esrog and rejoice before Hashem elakecho. There are times when we find that not only is there a mitzvah to be misameach, but in pasul, it renders one disqualified from the mitzvah. If he's not b'simcha, or whether it can seriously or totally hinder the mitzvah. For example, Gemara brings that shlomim, Gemara I believe is in Masechet Ma'ariv Kotan, shlomim, the korban shlomim, what does shlomim mean? Bizman shehu sholem velei bizman shehu chosar. When he is complete and not when he is lacking. Therefore, from there we learn an einin, someone who, heaven forbid, loses a close relative. On that day, he's not allowed to eat from the korban shlamim. And we learn from there all kotshim, or meiser, that the sacrifices which were brought, or the meiser, the part that was set aside of the crops for the levi, an onen, someone who is in the state where he has just lost a close relative, is not allowed to eat this. because it has to be eaten b'simcha, and he cannot eat it b'simcha. Or a kohen. A kohen, when he comes to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, an einan is posel afa avoda. The fact that he's an onan, he just lost someone, that disqualifies him from the avoda, from the service in the Beis HaMikdash. And if he does do it, avoda osa psula. If he does the avoda, if he shechs, or if he brings the dam, brings the blood to the mizbeach, and he's an onan, so it disqualifies the korban. Actually, the shechita, I'm not too sure, that might be kosher. But the other avodas are disqualifies him. And we find that the lack of simcha hinders one from studying Torah and hinders one from nevuah, for prophecy. Where, firstly, the Mishnah Masech Tovis in the Perek of Kinyan Torah states Ramem Ches Dvorim. A person has to have 48 different qualities if he wants to grow great in Torah, if he wants to acquire Torah, and one is simcha. So we see from there that if he doesn't have simcha, he will not acquire Torah. And the Gemara brings nevuah. If a person is a prophet and he's not b'simcha, he will not have prophecy. Where is this Gemara? This is Gemara in Shabbos in the Gemara Msochim. Orem Sochim and Avkuf Yudzayin. The Gemara is telling us here, first it asks the question, we've brought this Gemara several times before, in the Tehillim that David HaMelech wrote, many times it states LeDavid Mizmor, that for David it was a song, and many times it states Mizmor LeDavid, a song for David. For David, for David it was a song, or Mizmor LeDavid, a song for David. Why did he change it? So the Gemara says, Shosalav Shchina V'achakach Oma Shira. Was the David Mizmor. If David was at a level, at a spiritual level that he wanted to be and that he should have been, and therefore he decided to sing to Hashem and to write praises, that's called the David Mizmor. First he was David, and then he sang praises. Leishor Solov, Shechina. But if David was not at the level that he should have been, so first he had to sing in order to bring himself to the level that's called Mizmor LeDavid. First he sang and then he became David. LeDavid Mizmor means that first he was David, and because he was on such a level he sang out praises to Hashem. LeDavid Mizmor. But if he was not on the level that he should have been, he was sad. So Mizmor, first he sang and then he became David HaMelech. Mashma miteicha mizmor boshchina leDavid. That because of the singing, he brought himself to a level of happiness, and shchina, the presence of Hashem, came to him, and he sang out. So the Gemara continues. What do we learn from here? Lelamdecho, sheina shchina sheide lemiteichatzlus. If a person wants to be zeicha to shchina, he wants to come close to Hashem, he wants the presence of Hashem to come close to him. It will not come close to him, mitech atzlus. Atzlus is if he is cumbersome, if he's sluggish, if he lacks ambition, if he's not motivated. People that go around and they go around without zrizus, without enthusiasm, and without ambition, and without motivation, then the Shechina will not be sheder. Ein ha-Shechina sheder, lemitech atzlus. But let me take atzfus. And if a person is depressed and he's sad, the Shechina will not come to him. But let me take schreik. Schreik is folly. Now we are talking about simcha. Simcha and schok are two different things. The Rambam elaborates on this also there in Hilchas Yantif. Schreik, folliness, lightheadedness, the tzonis, this is not rejoicing. day. This is not rejoicing. So Velemi takes chayk. The Shekhinah will not come if a person is folly or lightheaded. Velemi take kalis reish. Velemi take dvorim v'telik. If a person is idle, idleness. These are levels where the Shekhinah cannot identify with. A Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot identify. Gemara brings a Kodesh Baruch Hu likes simcha. Gemara brings in the beginning of Avodah Zarah that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is always misameach. He likes simcha. He likes ambition. He likes productivity. Doesn't like people that are not ambitious and idleness. Let me take Dvorim B'Tehillim. When people sit around and do nothing, the Shekhinah won't be there. Let me take Dvar Simcha Shel Mitzvah. But when a person is rejoicing, and it's a true Simcha, it's what to celebrate over, this is what then the Shekhinah will be. How do we know this? So the Gemara brings from Malachim Malachim, it states, Malachim Beis, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Dalet and Tes Vav, Yoshafet, Melech Yehuda, came to Elisha to receive a nevuah, to receive a prophecy. But he came together with Yerovam, Melech Yisrael. And they came to ask him for a prophecy. And Yerovam made Elisha very angry. Vayema Elisha, Achai Hashem Tzevokes, Asher Amadeti Lefonov, Ki Lule Penei Yishofet Melech Yehuda, Aninaisei Mabit Elech Vimereko. He says, really, I shouldn't, you're such a rosha, you're so wicked, I shouldn't even stand here and look at you. I shouldn't talk to you. But because the presence of Yishofet Melech Yehuda is here, therefore I am here. And therefore I will give you the prophecy. Then the next pasuk states, Vatoki Kehuli Menagim, and now bring me a Menagi. Bring me someone that can sing and play an instrument. And when he will sing and play an instrument and entertain me, then the hand of Hashem will be on me and I will be able to prophesy. And this he did, and he prophesied. So the question is asked, what did he need the entertainment for? So the Gemara says he got angry. He became angry at Yerovam, who was such a rosho. When he got angry, when a person gets angry, he loses his simcha, he's not rejoicing. He becomes otsev, see? He becomes sad. And all of a sudden he found, when he tried to prophesy, he couldn't. The Shekhinah had left him. Because of his anger, and because of his sadness, the Shekhinah had left him. So he had to cool himself down, and he had to be mesameach himself, see? He had to rejoice himself. So he said, Ba'ato kehuli menagin, bring me a person that can sing and can play an instrument. The hoya kenagin, I'm a nagin, and when he'll play to me some soothing music, I will relax and I'll cool down, and then my simcha will come back to me, and vati olav yad Hashem, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come back to me. So that's what the Gemara brings in Psochim. The Gemara says that the Shekhinah is not Sheireh, does not dwell in all of these states except Var Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And as it says, Kichuli Menagin Vayekenagin Menagin Vati Alav Yad Hashem. Omar of Yehud, Omar Rav Echein Ledvar Halacha. Rav answered, he says, this is not only true for Nevuah, for prophecy, this is true for Torah also. Ledvar Halacha. If you want to understand the Shir Halacha, you have to be B'Simcha. If you're not B'Simcha, you won't understand it. If a person is not in good heart, the Gemara and the Tosfos won't go in. V'chein l'dvar halacha. Omar Rav Nachman, v'chein l'chalom tov. And Rav Nachman adds, this is also true l'chalom tov. If a person wants to have good dreams at night, Rashi says, you want good dreams, then you have to go to bed
in a good state of simcha, of happiness. If you go to bed troubled, then you will not have good dreams. Now the Gemara asked, what do you mean that for Torah we have to have so much rejoicing? But it's brought that when a person learns Torah, he has to learn Torah the same way it was given at Sinai. And when it was given at Sinai, they stood in trepidation. It states that they stood bereses ubzeya. When they stood at Sinai, they stood in fear and in awe and in trepidation to hear the Dvar Hashem, the word of Hashem. So what does it mean that when we learn Torah, we should be with such rejoicing? So the Gemara says both are true. First answer is if he's learning by himself or together with chaverim, colleagues, then he should be besimcha. When he's sitting before his Rebbe, then he has to sit like Klal Yisrael stood before HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai, with fear and with trepidation and with the utmost respect. That's one answer. Another answer is even when he's by his Rebbe, and you have to be with the utmost respect, but homekami the posuk, vahalabosa the posuk. Before he starts to learn, he has to be with a very, very good heart, a very happy heart. Otherwise he won't understand the Torah. Once you start learning, then he has to be totally serious. When the rabbi used to ilabasef Yosef Ben, so posak b'shmai, so rabbi when he would give a shir, when rabbi would give a shir, so he would start the shir with a joke. First he would say something humorous and everyone would laugh. He would do this to put them in a rejoicing mood. Then he would start the shir, and then everyone would sit with seriousness, and he would start the shir. So what do we see from this Gemara? We see that when it comes to learning Torah, or when it comes to prophecy, their simcha is not only a condition of better learning, but it's me'akev, it prevents the learning. It's an obstacle. The person is not besimcha, the Gemara says, v'chein ledvar halacha. He won't learn. He won't understand. That's what the Mishnah Novice tells us. That one of the attributes a person needs to acquire Torah is simcha. And by prophecy, it prevents. It's mi'akev de nevuah. Now, how to define simcha, happiness? Perhaps this is the most elusive thing in the world. Everybody seeks it. Everybody wants it. Many, many definitions are given to describe it, the pursuit of happiness. But it's from the most difficult things to find. So how would we define this? The Maral gives us a very great direction in this definition. Very consistently he says, simcha comes from shleimus. And atzvus comes from chisoron. Simcha comes from shleimus. Shleimus means when a person is full, complete. Sholem tam means complete, full, perfect. Perfection gives birth to simcha. Chisoron, when something is incomplete, imperfect, when something is lacking, that gives birth to atzfus, to sadness and to depression. And actually, the Gemara that we quoted before, it says shlomim, the korban, a certain sacrifice was called shlomim. The word sholem means complete. So it says a person can eat from that bisman shuhu sholem v'le bisman shuhu chosar. When he's complete, he can eat from it. If he's incomplete, he cannot eat from it. Who's the person that's incomplete? So it says the one that lost just a close relative one of his close relatives on that day. He's incomplete and he can't eat from it. So we see also this description in the Chazal. Now, therefore we find that if anything happens to the person that will add to him, it'll be an addition to him, it'll add to his fullness, add to his completion, you'll always find that this will be mesameach, this will rejoice the person. For example, if a person finds something new came to him, brings him happiness. If a person makes something new for himself, brings him happiness. A new acquisition. The Gemara tells us that when we have a new acquisition, we have to make a brocha. What brocha do we make? A birchas ha-simcha. A brocha and simcha. This is the brocha shechiyono or ateva ametiv, which is a birchas ha-simcha. Akeine dover chodesh, begit chodesh. This brings simcha, and therefore it's mechayev, it requires a brocha. Certainly, greater acquisitions, the greater the acquisition, the more simcha it will bring to the person, if it's fulfilling him. For example, a person gets married, now he has a new wife, or a person has a child. So this is more fulfillment, more completion, and it brings more simcha to him. The same we find with the converse. If a person loses something, he's upset. Sadness. He's lost something. Something breaks. And the greater the loss, the greater the sadness. If heaven forbid, the greatest sadness is avelus or aninus, when he loses a member of his family. So the basic principle is that sholem, bizman shehu sholem, when he's complete. Anything that adds to completion will add simcha. Anything that will take away from that completion will be an antithesis to the simcha. It will bring sadness. But what's important for us to know, and unfortunately in this, many, many people make a mistake, that when we say shleimus, fullness, it does not mean ribuy. We are not speaking about quantity. Sholem, which means that he's full, he's complete, does not mean quantity. Sholem means perfect, perfection. There's a big difference. Because a person can have a great quantity and it can destroy perfection. Perfection doesn't mean the more the better. Perfection means not too little and not too much, but it's a perfect balance. Perfect means exactly the way it should be. Riboy, multitude, quantity that can destroy perfection, just like the lack of something can destroy perfection. For example, you paint a perfect picture. You put in not enough color, it's not perfect. Put in too much color, you also destroy it. Music. You have your brass section. If you have too much of it, it can destroy it. Too little of it can destroy it. The best illustration of this is from the physical body itself. The physical body likes to be shalim, likes to be full. You don't eat enough, you're hungry. So a person would think, therefore, the more you eat, the better it is. Eating too much is as dangerous, if not more dangerous to the body, than eating not enough. Drinking too much is as destructive as drinking not enough. And everything in regards to the physical body. So what do we see? But when we're talking of sholem, tam, this means perfect. Not too little and not too much, but exact balance. But not quantity, see, not the ribui. And this is how it must be, this is how it is at all of the level of the physical, and this is how it must be the person in its entirety. For this reason, that the Chazal tell us, Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, why was it chosen that the Torah was given on it? There were many, many mountains in the wilderness. Why was Mount Sinai chosen that Torah should be given? So Chazal tell us it was not chosen because it was the largest mountain. It was not the largest. There were larger ones. It was not chosen because it was the smallest. It was chosen because it was perfect size. Wasn't too large and wasn't too small. Actually, the sages tell us in Masechta Chulin something interesting, but you'll see that it's human nature, especially the nature of the nations of the world, where they don't understand this. It states, Kol hayesed kinotel domi. If an animal is lacking an organ, one of the necessary organs of the body, so he's a sick animal, renders him a trefa. It's not a kosher animal. What happens if he has the organ, but he has two organs? He's supposed to have one and he has two. Right? He'll get an organ, he has two lungs instead of one lung. He has two hearts instead of one heart. Whatever it might be. I mean, two sets of lungs instead of one. Or three. He'll have the three lobes. Right? Or instead of two kidneys, he'll have three kidneys. So we would say that's better. It's even better. A car with one spare tire or two spare tires is better. The Gemara says no. Gemara says it's a trefa. It's a trefa. Why is it a trefa? Moses is a trefa because a yes, it has a definition of yeser, but it's kechosar. Yeser is kechosar. Called hayeser kinotel domi. An extra organ renders it safer, just like it's missing one of its imperative organs. And that's this principle. Because an animal that's healthy means in perfect balance. If it's lacking one of its imperative organs, or if it has too many of its imperative organs, this is not perfect balance. And something's wrong with it. Something basically is wrong with it. And therefore it's a trefa. Yes is kechosar. Yes is kenotl. Extra is as if it's taken, as if it doesn't have to at all. This was the same thing with Har Sinai. A mountain that's too big is a mum. Right? A mountain that's too big is a blemish. And a mountain that's perfect size, that's perfection. Now we see in the world, what do we look for? We look for the highest mountains. You look for the highest mountains, Mount Everest. If you go up a Mount Everest, you'll find that there are many, many monasteries up there. There are many places up there that have been set aside on Mount Everest for religious purposes. Right? Idolatrous purposes or other religious purposes. Why Mount Everest? Because it's always attracted people. That's the place for meditation. See? That's the place you can come closer to God. Its height is attractive, people. The Torah tells us it's not true. It's a mum. Something which is so big, that's a yetziya min haseder. That's an abnormality. That's an abnormality. And you won't find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in you find them all over. But you'll find the Shekhinah less in abnormal places than you will in normal places. Because the Shekhinah also seeks shlemus, seeks balance, perfect balance. Not an extreme to the right and not an extreme to the left. Har Sinai was not to the right and not to the left. It wasn't from the largest mountains and it wasn't from the smallest mountains. Therefore Har Sinai was chosen. we must constantly train ourselves to seek not something because it's the biggest. Western culture today, it's if it's bigger, it's better. This is the principle. Bigger, better. Mass production. Ribui. Quantities. Especially now in the computer age. In the computer age, we can do things that men couldn't do in 1,000 years, we can do now in minutes. The more you can churn out, the better. This is Western culture. I once said that if we would have a Rembrandt today living, see, so they would sit down with him and ask him, can he produce 1,000,000 of these paintings and we'll make a lot of money? And we'll do it. He'll tell him, 1,000,000. One of these I can produce. They'll send him away. What are you going to do with one? No longer the appreciation for mastership is no longer existent. If it's mastership, perfect. Now, we're interested in quantity. The West today, it's not only the West. Today, one of your centers for industry is Japan. But that's because the West is there. So they learned that from the West. But this is quantity, ribui. And this is Aesop. This was the opposite, exact opposite, of Yaakov and Esav, the Torah tells us. How do we know? The Torah tells us in Parshas Vayishlach, Lamed Gimel Yud Ches. First it states, or it states that after Yaakov's confrontation with Esav, it states by Yomer Yaakov Sholem. Yaakov came to Ir Shechem, to the city of Shechem, Sholem. What does Sholem mean? Perfect. What does it mean he came Sholem? Perfect. So Rashi brings Sholem b'mameina. He had his money, all of his money. Didn't say how much money, but he had all of his money. Sholem b'gufay. His body was perfect. Sholem b'teirosei. His Torah was perfect. And by Yaakov, when the Torah tells us of Yaakov as he was growing up and it wanted to describe him, how did it do it? It said, b'Yaakov ish tam. Yaakov was an ish tam. Tam means Sholem. Didn't tell us how big he was. He was perfect. He was a man of perfection. Ish tam. Yeshiv olim dwelled in the tents of Torah. Now it's interesting that when he met Esav, in this parsha, Vayishlach, he brought Esav a great gift, a great dorem of all kind of sheep, cattle, and so forth. And Esav said, "Why? Don't give it to me. I don't need it." So in Pasuk test, "Vayomer Esav yesh li rov. Why are you giving to me? I have rov. Rov means I have multitudes. What are you giving me more for?" And Yaakov answered him. Kach no es birchosi asher huvas loch v'chi yesh li kol. Take what I want to give you because I have kol. Esav said yesh li rov and Yaakov said yesh li kol. Rov means I have multitudes. Kol means I have everything. Esav measured wealth by quantity. He says, I have tremendous wealth. I have so much. Yaakov didn't measure wealth by quantity. He said, yesh li kol. I have everything. I lack nothing. He could have had a little, he could have had a lot. He said, I lack nothing. Esav expressed his wealth by how much he had. Yaakov expressed his wealth by what he did not lack. There's a key difference in that. This is a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Masechta Ovis. It says, Ezel hu Osher. Who is wealth? You want to measure wealth? That's a Masameach de Chelke. He who has enough. He who rejoices in what he has enough. What does it mean? The wealthy person, how do we define the wealthy person and the poor person? You would say by quantity. Look at their balance sheets, okay? And you can define who's wealthy and who's poor. That's not true. The Gemara tells us an Evyon, a poor person, that comes from the word to'ev. A poor person is someone who needs what he doesn't have. He needs more and he doesn't have it. Evyon, only the Evyon is someone who needs and cannot get what he needs. This is a poor person. Wealthy person has all his needs. So you can have Yesh Osher, whoever. You can have a person who has tremendous multitudes. But he needs more, and he cannot get it. He keeps pursuing it. So that's a poor person. He lacks. You can have a poor person who has very little, but he desires no more. He has enough. Desires no more, he doesn't need any more. He's a wealthy person. In other words, do you measure wealth by what a person has or by what he's lacking? If we measure by what he has, so then quantity. If we measure by what he's lacking, it has nothing to do with quantity. There it has to do with shleimus, perfection. The one who has enough, he has everything. The one who doesn't have enough, then he's a poor person. Esav said, Yesh li rov, I have enormous amounts of assets, measured by quantity. Yaakov said, Yesh li kol, I have everything, I lack nothing. He measured by what he lacked. The Torah tells us that shleimus, this shleimus that we're speaking about, this is not quantity, but rather this is perfection, satisfaction. When a person has, when a person lacks nothing. And therefore, shleimus is linked to svia, to satisfaction. Actually, the word svia, the Maral brings in many places, comes from the word sheva, seven. And he says, many places in the Torah you find seven is linked with satisfaction. Sheva means that the person is totally full and he needs nothing else. We find that Shabbos. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that more work was needed. The world lacked something. More work was needed. But after 6 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu vayar es kol asher osa, he saw everything that he did, and it was tov miyod, it was good. And there was nothing lacking. So he brought the seventh day. The seventh day is where nothing lacks. See, Sevilla. This is why on Shabbos there's a new dimension of simcha that comes to a person. A person on Shabbos always feels a new dimension of simcha. Because there's this shleimus. There's this total satisfaction. Physically and spiritually. Spiritually to him comes on Shabbos an addition. An addition to his neshama, an addition to his soul. And this is what we must remember when the Torah tells us, V'achalta v'savoto v'erachto, that you shall eat, and you shall be satisfied, and you shall be mevorech Hashem, bless Hashem. When we eat, we must eat to satisfy ourselves. Tzadik eichal, lizba nefesh. Righteous, they eat to satisfy themselves. They don't eat because of tremendous desire. They don't eat as a glutton, but to satisfy the need of the person. Then he's perfect. Then he's at a level of erachto, where he can, with rejoicing, bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person merely wants to amass quantity, that'll never bring satisfaction. Rambam tells us, Ohev kesev, la yisba kesev. Someone who has a love for gold and silver, he will never be satisfied with gold and silver. Yesh leimona, rotzo masai. A person has 100, he wants 200. He has 200, he wants 400. He has 400, he wants 800. This will never satisfy a person. So the pursuit to amass quantity, that's not satisfaction. That's no more satisfaction than a person, than an alcoholic who's never satisfied, or a glutton. That just because he ate a lot doesn't mean that he's satisfied. He could be overstuffed. Right? But that's not satisfaction. Satisfaction is where it's perfect. The pursuit of quantity never satisfies a person. Pursuit of perfection, that will satisfy a person. And perfection is exactly what that person needs at all levels. Now, one more important principle. And that is, when the Almighty created this world, the physical world, he did not create it alone. States that when he created the world, he created two worlds. By Yitzhar HaSa'odam, he created man. There are two yuds by Yitzhar. He created him for this world and for the next world. When he created the world, he created two worlds, a physical world and a spiritual world. The physical world by itself is lacking. Together with the spiritual world, it's in totality. But by itself it's lacking. Therefore, anything which is isolated on the physical world will never have the power to bring a severe, a satisfaction, a perfection to a person. Because the entire physical world alone is not perfect, but is lacking. He created it only together with the spiritual world. Therefore, the main shleimus, the main satisfaction, and the main fulfillment, perfection of man, can only come when he starts to fill himself with spiritual fulfillment also. Then he starts to bring a perfection to his soul, to his nefesh and to his neshama. But if he merely seeks physical perfections, there cannot be a perfection. Because the physical world itself, in essence, is not perfect. It was created only together with the other world. So therefore, if a person wants shleimus on this world, he wants totality, and total fulfillment, and total perfection, he has to realize that he has to do it synonymously with this world and the next world. He has to use this world to attain a spiritual fulfillment and a spiritual height. Every mitzvah that he'll fulfill brings more perfection to his soul. Every word Torah that he learns brings additional perfection to his soul. All mitzvahs bring him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, is the perfection of his soul, because he's a chelek, he's a part of the Almighty. So this world was given to use for the person, to use to attain higher perfection. If he stops at this world, he will always be left empty, always be left lacking, always hungry. And this is why we find so many psukim in the Torah which speak of simcha when it comes to Torah mitzvahs. For example, Torah Hashem Tmima Mishivas Nefesh. The Torah of Hashem is perfect and brings great perfection to the person. Bekudei Hashem Yishorim Mesamche Leif. The mitzvahs of Hashem are upright. They bring rejoicing to the heart. Or is Veru Al Tzadik Uli Yisrei Leif Simcha. It's a strong light for the righteous, and to the upright it brings rejoicing. Now, if, like we said, that perfection gives birth to happiness, and lacking gives birth to sadness, then if a person wants simcha, he's going to have to fulfill himself. The only way he'll have simcha, if he's fulfilled. If he perfects himself. If he completes himself. But if he's lacking, then he can't have simcha. There'll be atzfus, there'll be depression. And the way to fulfill oneself is through acquisitions, where he acquires things for himself. But what kind of acquisitions? Acquisitions that bring perfection to himself. Not quantity, not ribui, like Eshav. But acquisitions that perfect him. In this world, what he needs, and all of the Torah and mitzvahs that can perfect his soul and bring him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the source of his perfection. When he lacks in any of these areas, this will cause a depression. This will cause atzfus. So this is what the Maral tells us, that the definition of simcha is shlemos. And the definition of atzfus, of depression, is chisoron, when he lacks. If he's lacking or he's not lacking. Like Ezel Osher, who is the wealthy? Not the one who has tremendous multitudes, because a man can have tremendous multitudes and still be lacking. But a masameach b'chelcha is someone who rejoices with his portion, and therefore he lacks nothing. If you lack nothing, then you're totally fulfilled, then you're the wealthy man, even if you have a little. If you have a great amount, but you lack more, then you're a poor man. That's the oni ve'evyoin to'ev, someone who needs more constantly, needs more. Now this world, as we mentioned, was given to the person to attain this perfection. If when we have this world, we don't use it to attain this perfection, we don't use it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it's a great criticism on us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all of the things in this world, which is a wonderful world. He said, "Vayar Hashem is kol asher osa, ki tov me'od." Hashem saw everything that he did that was so good, very, very good. If Hashem says it's good, it's good. It's a wonderful world. But it was given to us as a means to climb to greater fulfillment. And if we're b'sameach in it, we rejoice in it, and we use it to serve Hashem at greater heights, then we are seeking and fulfilling perfection, reaching perfection. But if we take whatever Hashem has given to us, especially when we have it, and we don't use it to serve Hashem with great simcha, this was the criticism in the Teichachos. Tachas Hashem lo avadeto es Hashem elokecho v'simcha v'tuv levov. Actually, the Rambam brings in Hilchis Deos. The Rambam says in Hilchis Deos, Perik, at the end of Perik Gimel, Omru Chachomim, call him a vatel a satirim a isha, whoever has wealth, he has physical wealth, and with his physical wealth he stops to study Torah or to serve Hashem. What? Hilchis Talmud Torah. Oh, yeah, Hilchis Talmud Torah. Perek Gimel, at the end of Perek Gimel, Hilchis Talmud Torah. Call him a vatel. he ceases to study Torah or to serve Hashem when he's wealthy. And we, Baruch Hashem, in the Western culture, are wealthy. The end will be that he'll cease to serve Hashem, heaven forbid, in poverty. Whoever fulfills Torah in poverty, and then he will end up to fulfill Torah in wealth. How do we know this? The first half, because it states, because you didn't serve Hashem with the wealth which I gave you, and then the next pasuk states, you will end up serving your enemies. Your enemies will come and take all of this wealth away. So you don't use the wealth that I gave you to be happy and to serve me with it, with happiness. Then the end will be you'll lose the wealth, heaven forbid. Then it says, I afflict you in order to bring good to you in the end. If you study Torah and serve me from affliction, you will end up with great wealth. Now today, in our times, we have an enigma, which would seem. It's a world of plenty. In the West, in the 20th century, we live levels of luxury that was unknown to our fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers for many, many, many generations. At the same time, depression, disappointment, sadness, you name it, is rife. It's rife. To the point where this is something that only our generation knew of, where you have psychological, psychiatric diseases. Suicides are a great threat in our society. This is something that was never and ever known to generations before, in the last number of generations, that suicide should be a great threat. Self-destruction, to the point where people want to self-destruct. In a time when they didn't have what to eat, and they hardly had a house to sleep in, and they were driven from community to community, and there were threats of enemies living all around them, and disease was a threat. Who knew of these things? They were never mentioned. And here in our generations we have so much wealth and so much luxury, everything that a person can need, but at the same time, the depression today, diseases caused by depression have become a major, major killer and a major, major problem. The answer is it's not an enigma. It's not an enigma. We think it is. It's not. It's like someone asked the question, how come today we find so many diseases such as cancer and heart attack and high blood pressure and so forth? And we didn't find these diseases so much before. And the fact is, you don't find these diseases in third world countries. So a doctor once told me, simple. He says, because these are diseases which are caused by excess. That's why you didn't find them before, and you don't find them in third world countries. Third world countries, you find plenty problems, plenty diseases. But the diseases that are caused from the opposite of excess. Okay. Well, you'll find problems there with water purity, right, sanitation, and so forth. Malnutrition. So it's other diseases. But high blood pressure and cancer and heart attacks, they hardly know of it. Those people come here, they get it here. Because these are diseases which are caused by excess. The same thing. depression and diseases caused by sadness or by people with broken hearts and so forth and so on. In many ways these are more related to excess than to lack of sufficient material for life. Because if you live in a world which is totally physical, and the entire motivation of life has become for physical acquisition, and it's constantly chasing more and more physical acquisitions and physical wealth, and physical wealth is a hollow wealth and a hollow world if it's isolated from the spiritual world. So we just learned it cannot satisfy. Ohev kesev lo yizba kesev. It cannot satisfy. Yesh lemono rotze masayim. If he has 100, he wants 200. Cannot satisfy. So the more excess you have, if it's limited to physical spheres, the more dissatisfaction there'll be, according to what we've just learned. Dissatisfaction, lacking, that gives birth to what? To axis. That gives birth to sadness and depression. And we are living in a generation where we see that sadness and depression is the top of the list. But if a person seeks, in addition to the physical material that he has given, he seeks spiritual attainment, which can satisfy a person, and he uses it all to satisfy himself. So that's filling. That'll give birth to simcha. So therefore it's not necessarily dependent at all on how much physical wealth one has. Not only that, but in a materialistic society, in a society which is orientated that what is important is materialistic quest, then you're going to find diseases which are related to access or to depression. And this is the society that we live in today. So therefore we have to be very careful with this, to keep our eyes straight and to follow what the Torah tells us. And tachas asher lo avadeto es Hashem elokecha b'simcha v'tuv leivov. Meirev kol. Many times you meet people here in South Africa and they're sad. They're sad about the situation in the country. And they're looking to run all over the world. What are they lacking? What are they lacking? Everything that money can buy is here. So Meirev kol. They were given everything. If the country doesn't produce it, it's imported. It's not a Iron Curtain country or a third world country. You go there, you can't find anything. You go to Mozambique, they'll sell it to you. You can't find anything on the shelves. Or Rhodesia. You tell me in Rhodesia, many times cars are left abandoned on the road because it's impossible to get parts for them. Everything that money can buy, you have here. See, Meirev kol. Tachat Hashem le'avadato, avedis Hashem. There's no problem in serving Hashem. Jews lived in countries where they were not allowed to serve Hashem. South Africa, the government, the people will let you serve Hashem the way you want. They'll even help you. So what is the problem? Because people create problems for themselves. And this is what the Torah pointed the finger. When you had, I gave you everything. you didn't serve me b'simcha. We should be zeicher to learn, which is perhaps the greatest lesson in life, how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha b'tuv leiv, me'reiv kol, when we have everything that he gives us.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.